RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Giant fans are enamored with the number one overall pick. If they get the number one overall pick, the thought is, as you said, they could draft whoever the heck they want. Mm-hmm. But the likeliest outcome is that they would trade the number one overall pick. Let's go to Kevin in Manhattan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. Appreciate you having me on right before the holiday. Wishing you all a blessed holiday.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, man.
Congrats to Hot Take Tommy, the Rodney Dangerfield of WFAN for his new show.
No respect.
But as you alluded to earlier, consensus is the Giants need players to fill multiple holes. More draft picks is, you know, more of Tiki's favorite rookies. So what I wanted to ask is, what has more value? Because potentially, you know, you could trade Dart for players that are proven. He's a somewhat proven player. You could hire, you know, you could trade him for somewhat proven players. You know, if you trade the draft pick, you're likely to get more draft picks rather than, you know, proven players. So I just want to get your thoughts on what's more valuable from a trade capital perspective, yeah. And will the Giants entertain both?
I think they probably would, but I think this is the challenge with the cap situation the Giants find themselves in. They don't have a ton of cap space going into the 2026 season. Now, the cap, as I've always said, is fungible, and so there are ways around it and to create space, but they're not going in like the Jets with $100+ million in cap space. So, yes, you can draft guys, or if you're the Jets, you can also go crazy in free agency.
Right.
So I don't think the Jets will do that, by the way, but if the Giants had cap space, free agency would be the way to think about filling some of those holes, because with rookies, it just extends that ability to get good right away.
They're also a lot cheaper, though.
100% they're cheaper, but you don't know. You just don't know, right? So you're going to have a draft, and it's not like you're having two drafts in a season. You're going to have 7 to 8 new players, and how many of them are going to hit for you right away? You don't know the answer. And so you got to fill some free agency. Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent. One of the other offensive linemen is a free agent as well. Now, obviously, you drafted Marcus Bowe, so he's there. Maybe he can fill a hole for you. But there is a lot of roster maneuvering that the Giants still have to do to get viable for next season with whoever the new head coach is.
Which is why trading that number one overall pick for a host of draft picks is appealing.
Yes.
Now, you obviously then have to make the right decisions. And as you say, they're rookies. Mm-hmm. And rookies suck. But that's the likeliest outcome. Now, the other thing he threw out there is the thing I dared to bring up a week ago, and you guys all thought I was trolling, which is the idea of using that pick to draft a quarterback and trading Jackson Dart. I think that every conversation needs to be on the table when you finish 2-15. And so I suggest that conversation be put on the table.
Right.
But I doubt the Giants will do it. And here's a part of why they won't do it. And I guess you could ask me and other Jet fans this question. What would I give up for Mendoza versus what would I give up for Jackson Dart? And the truth is, and it's not even like that rational, but my brain works this way too. I'm giving up less for Jackson Dart. And I think the reason is because once the car is off of
The lot.
The lot.
It depreciates.
It depreciates. One less year of control.
Like, mm-hmm. Idiots with idioms.
I'm a year into the lease.
I saved him on that one.
Thank you. I never actually screwed
it
up the idiot.
Screw it up. He just paused it for a while.
Yeah. I allowed Tiki to fix it. But if Jackson Dart was made available via trade, yeah, he would not get the return that the number one overall
pick. Because the bloom is off. You know, you said it before. And so we know that he's talented. And I think I've said this really my entire career, no one loves you like your mama, like the team that drafts you. Because as soon as you go someplace else, it's kind of like, okay, we love him, but you got to now prove it again. So I think the Giant fan, the Giant organization, loves Jackson Dart because they drafted him. He's their guy. If he were to go someplace else, it'd be like, all right, what are you bringing? Like, prove it to us. I know what you did there. It's not like this is a 6-7 year, you know, multiple Pro Bowl veteran.
Did you do that on purpose?
What? Nothing. Oh, yeah, kind of. No, it's now in my head. It's in my head. Whenever I have to throw mid numbers out, yeah, I always go 6-7. I used to go 3-4. Sometimes I'd say 5-6. Now I always say 6-7.
Last night.
I don't even know why.
Last night I was at Nets Raptors with both of my sons. I pulled something off I've never pulled off of. I took both my sons to a sporting event, just me.
Wow.
And I was able to pull it off.
It's impressive.
At one point in the game, it was tied 67-67.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. And both of them were like, take a picture, Dad!
They were like going crazy with their hands.
Yeah.
6-7! 6-7! 6-7! 6-7!
The Nets still in the league.
That was well done, Tiki. And by the way, since you didn't believe me, here's the picture of the scoreboard. What does it say?
It says 67-67.
That's right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Michael Porter Jr. at 22-8 at that point. Not bad.
That's impressive.
A third of their production.
No wonder they're winning.
They're red hot.
It's amazing they lose when they sit them.
Let's go to Angel in Brooklyn. What's up, Angel?
What's up, Angel?
6-7 was the biggest thing from the Nets game, huh?
Yeah, clearly. Far and away.
I mean, they got the W, Merry, so.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, dude.
Yeah. Listen, every time I hear, like, people saying, like, oh, he's the guy, meaning Dart, it sounds like they're kind of convincing themselves. To be honest, I don't know. Do you feel like if Dart doesn't learn how to slide, that he's going to wind up going the way of Tua?
Tua took some bad shots. Tua's a concussion issue. It's nothing to joke about. It felt career-threatening. It really did. I mean, because they happen so frequently over that 2 or 3 year span. Jackson Dart, let's be clear. He's been in the tent seven times, whatever number it is. Again, 6-7. But he's only been diagnosed with one concussion, right? And it's not like you go into the tent and they just let you come out and go back and play if you're compromised. And so he's suffered one concussion. He missed 2 weeks because of it. Is the norm, because it's just really hard to get back into, get clear the protocol. But it's not like he's had 4 concussions this season.
No.
He's had one concussion.
But I think fear is he will end up having multiple concussions.
Yes.
Not that he's had it yet.
Yes.
But that because of his style of play, the fact he's already suffered one that we know of, that could lead to him 5-6 years from now being Tua.
I don't think so. I think Tua's was... He seemed more susceptible to him because it seemed like every time he got hit, he had a concussion.
Here's what I know about Tua, who is no longer going to be the Miami Dolphins quarterback next year. Obviously, he was benched this previous week. He has not been the same guy. He just wasn't. Let's not forget how good Tua was in 2023 when he threw for 4,600 yards.
Right, and nobody throws for 4,000 yards anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good accomplishment. And after that, he suffers the concussions in 2024. And not that he's unplayable, he's just average. He's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
His career has clearly taken a hit since this occurred. Now, is that Jackson Dart 5 years from now? I hope not. But I understand the concerns because he does play with a reckless style at times.
But I also, and I've said this multiple times, I think there's a way to learn how to, like, learning how to fall is really one of the most important things you do. Because when you get hit and you're falling backwards, it's not really going forward. Going forward, you can brace yourself. You see the ground coming. You know when to, you know, how to prevent your head from hitting it. It's when you're falling backwards that you really have to ingrain, look at my feet, right? And my coaches always tell me, look, just look down, because it keeps your head from smashing into the ground. But it's just, it's hard to do that when you get hit hard. You know what I mean?
And yeah, so no doubt.
It's, but there is a methodology to taking hits and staying safe. Jackson Dart hasn't learned it yet.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Love the commercials. Staten Island, we go. Anthony, what's going on, Anthony?
What's up, Moose? Thanks for taking the call, brother.
You got it, man. What's on your mind?
All right, so I agree with you in a lot of places. I disagree with you. If the Raiders game is the Super Bowl, have to lose that game. I'm sorry. I root for them every week to win every week.
Right. All right,
but not against the Raiders. It's the only thing that eases another terrible season. That's
yeah, you end up with you get to dream about the number one overall pick. Dream right. of some team moving up from Mendoza, getting more and more draft capital, and nobody likes draft capital more than the NFL fan.
Right. So I also got to say, you got to fire Shane today. You're not letting him pick in the top five if he's not the GM for the next 5, 6, 7 years. That I don't know why they're not firing him, and why is everybody talking about drafting Mendoza and trading Dart? It's absolutely
because you have nothing. What
nuts.
Else can because people are looking for creative ways to talk about the Giants.
Yeah, and it's and now, it's not just on the radio.
Yes,
it's on the radio.
It makes little to no sense. Listen, I shot it down each and every time. I think it's stupid.
I've heard it from all my Giants fans friends. Listen, if a team loves Mendoza, the return you could get for the first overall is a lot higher than you're going to get for Dart. I don't know if Dart's going to be an elite quarterback. You don't know. Nobody knows. But I do know he's got that it factor. He's got that attitude. We haven't had that in so long, and he's playing with a bunch of third-string wide receivers at best. Like, give this guy some weapons. Give him a healthy Scott. Give him a healthy Neighbors. Draft some capital to help around him, and this guy is going to be good. Let's get a competent head coach. There's so much potential for this kid. Why are we talking to even entertaining the fact that we're going to trade him for Mendoza?
Yeah, Anthony, I don't think there's really much of a conversation. I don't think there's where it matters. I don't think there's much to entertaining it. I think it's just fodder. I think the frustration of the year, the frustration of the last 3 years, you know, you're trying to make it and trying to look at things creatively or think outside the box. And Mendoza, you know, and it was a weak Heisman class, you know, and, I vote for the Heisman every single year, but I went Mendoza and Love 1-2 when it looks at, but was he prototypical of a Heisman trophy winner? No, he wasn't. But when he needed to be great, he was. You know, that throw he made, it was a ridiculous catch by his wideout against Penn State.
That was, you know, a remarkable comeback. And Cignetti's done an unbelievable job with that program, and Mendoza's been great this year for the Indiana Hoosiers. But I would not, I think right now, and I get where the Giant fan is. It's not one where I'm telling you that, you know, this is the way I root. I don't do that. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. Like, whether you root for success or whether you root for failure, the game's going to play out the way it is. And the Giants might just beat the Raiders because the Raiders are, despite their performance yesterday and almost pulling out a victory against Houston as an over 2-touchdown underdog, the Raiders have been really, really bad, embarrassingly bad. I think the previous game they had 75 yards of total offense with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. I mean, that's just terrible, terrible. Ashton Jeanty, they took a dynamic running back at Boise State and he had a game yesterday. You know, a big 60-yard touchdown, a reception, had another long touchdown run from 50-plus yards out. But Ashton Jeanty, who was could have easily won the Heisman Trophy last year, the rookie out of Boise State, you know, they've minimized his impact this year because they've gotten little to no offensive line in front of him. The Giants could end up winning that game. I get where the Giant fan is right now saying, I've dealt with a lot of losing. Just in the end, just let it pay off to where you have the number one overall pick. Staten Island we go. It's Tony. It's the fan. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Mark. How are you today?
Tony, I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Giant fan, so, you know, not too good. So, you know, just to add to the last caller, listen, I think we could all agree that Dart's mechanics are not good. I mean, I've called on the past and stated this a few times, so leave it where it is. I mean, he still has some work to improve on that area. But there's big questions on his mechanics. And, you know, if he's not getting the proper coaching or if he can prove it, we hope. Yeah, he has the it factor. I just say all that stuff. And, hey, Mark, just real quick.
Did you ever see Josh Allen throw the ball coming out of college and the way Josh Allen throws the ball now?
I know. But it's...
Have you taken a look at that?
Yeah,
mechanics can be worked out, can be smoothed out. Any of those kind of issues. I don't disagree. The Giants have got to find the right guy to bring in place, and his connection with Brian Daboll was unquestioned, and Daboll was the driving force to Dart. What you need to know, regardless of those issues, the Giants as an organization, you know, wholeheartedly believe there's excitement in the building to what they see in number 6.
Of course. I leave it like that, and we'll see what happens. It'd be a shame if you ever got rid of him and he turned out to be good, or if you got Mendoza and he turned out to be a bust. So let's just ride it out. Let's get a good coach in here, whoever that may be. So, the overtime, Moose. So it's all different now, isn't it? And so we see now 10 minutes, each team gets two timeouts. And we see now several times that the team that scores first has a 5-6 minute drive, you know, leaving 5-1 minutes for the other team to come down the field. And we've seen now the team that scores second almost automatically is going to go for 2 points. That being when the team that gets the ball first scores a touchdown, of course. And we've seen this now. So let me ask you, how do you play the overtime now? I mean, if you want the ball first, you would never go for 2 points on scoring a touchdown on the first possession. Would you agree with that?
No, you wouldn't, because the team that goes for the two, and you got to remember that a tie is, and they're giving the ball back to Stafford and the Rams, right? So the tie doesn't do anything for Seattle, and they're not going to get another opportunity to win the game, so they go for two in that great Thursday night game that we saw. No, I'm going to take the ball second because I want to know what I need to do.
Right, but and then again to the other part of that, scoring first, you would never go for 2 points on the first.
I would not scoring,
because if you don't get it now, you only got 6, and now just a simple touchdown and an extra point.
Yeah, I would not.
Of course, and no, it's just very interesting, and I agree with you. I would want the ball second, and I think that's the way the overtimes are going to play out now. I think the team, if they match that touchdown, I think almost automatically they're going to go for 2 points. Have we seen that in the Rams Niners game early? We've seen it in the Seattle game a couple of days ago, and it's interesting. I love it. I think it's interesting. I mean, with these guys kicking out 70-yard field goals and 65-yard field goals and whatnot, you know, think about the old school overtime and where we are right now, and how they made that adjustment to the game.
Well, everything's changed, Tony. And I think, you know, they want to make the overtime rules fair to where, you know, not everything is on the coin toss and based on what happens if you win the coin toss and not, and you're giving two teams that finished in a tie at the end of regulation, both giving them an opportunity to win the game. Vernon, New Jersey, Peter, what's going on, Peter?
Hey, Moose, how are you?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you?
Good. Moose, I had a good question about Brian Flores. I would love to have him as a coach. And the reason why is because I think he's a great defensive coordinator. And the Giants this year, their bigger problem wasn't offense. It was defense. They played three quarters of defense and lost how many games in the waning minutes. So I would love to have him in as a and give him a shot as a head coach. But my question to you is, the lawsuit he has out about with the NFL, would that prevent the Giants from hiring him?
I mean, I can't speak for the Giants. I would say probably it would play a role. Giants are
you
named.
Think so?
Giants are. I believe the Giants are named in that lawsuit.
If they actually went to him, do you think this is? I was just talking to my brother about it, and they made an offer to him. Could he drop the Giants from the lawsuit?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not going to tell you that. I wasn't smart enough to go to law school and study the law. I don't know. I mean, that was the whole Belichick sending the wrong text to the wrong Brian at the time, congratulating Brian Flores on getting the Giants head coaching job when he meant to send it to Brian Daboll. You know, and it didn't end well. Listen, I heard Boomer talking about this morning with Gio, and he said he thinks the lawsuit would have to be settled for him to get another head coaching job in the National Football League. But, so do I think Flores is a wonderful defensive coordinator? I do. I think he had to have learned something to the way that he treated players, especially with the stuff that happened with Tua down there in South Beach. Is he going to get another opportunity? We'll see. We'll see. But is that, regardless of the lawsuit, is that where I'm going if I'm the Giants, given what I've been through for the last 3 years? I don't know if that's the apple of my eye. I'm looking for a little bit more cost certainty. Now, the perfect established head coach that's going to kind of be hold this team's feet to the fire, so to speak, being more of a disciplinarian. Well, when you look at the prospective guys that are out there right now that are available right now, there isn't really a guy that meets all of that criteria. 1256, Melusis with you, 888-808-1019.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
888-808-1019 is your number to call. Dove Pete across the way. Malvern, we go. Kick it off the 1 o'clock hour. It's Sonny. What's going on, Sonny?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, as you always. Got it, Sonny. Thanks for making the call. What's on your mind, bud?
Thanks. Four quick things. First of all, I love Phillip Rivers. Always have. I love his competitiveness. It's amazing that he's able to get the ball to his receivers with that technique he has, that form, that shot put, form like Boldinger said. I mean, I know he can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field anymore, but just the fact that he still can throw the out pass and the seam route is unbelievable if you think about it. It's so weird, his technique.
Oh, it's fun to watch. I mean, it just is. I mean, to, you know, is to watch a guy step off, and, you know, he's got grandkids, you know, coaching high school football, you know, retired 5 years, to step in and even to be able to hold up physically for two games. It's just great. And I do miss him. I missed his fieriness, his feistiness, the trash talk, he was just a fun player to watch when he was in his prime with the Chargers.
It's amazing if the things were flipped, you know, if he, like, you know, stayed with the Chargers and he went to the Giants. You know, it's interesting, but, you know, that you'll never know. Anyway, as far as the Jets, listen, Moose, I really think that, you know, I'm a Giant fan, but Jets I like also. I think the Jets would be better suited not giving up so much draft capital and waiting and picking Simpson. Simpson, as you know, I'm an Alabama guy. I think Simpson is just as good, if not better, than Mendoza. Mendoza is not, you know, Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning coming out of college. I mean, he's not the greatest, you know, quarterback to win the Heisman here. And I think that that would be the wise choice. Simpson can make every throw. You know, he can make that great intermediate throw, which is behind the linebacker in front of the safety. He changes and makes adjustments pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, which I don't see Mendoza doing. I think that'd be the better.
Well, it just depends on my evaluation of Mendoza. You know, I could, you know, that's where, you know.
Do you like him? Do you like him?
I do. I think you need to see a little bit more.
I don't love the guy. You don't love him.
No, I get it. I mean, I do. But I think it depends on what my for all these teams. You don't convince yourself about a quarterback. The quarterback convinces you. So, like, I understand you're in a position of need. If you don't love Mendoza, then I agree with you. You punt. You live to fight another day, or you do what, you know, Connor Hughes talked about on SNY, you know, a couple of days ago, where, you know, you draft a guy in the second or third round, give that individual an opportunity, and then see exactly what you have for a year. If not, and it doesn't work, they prove that that individual proves that they're not the answer, then you address the quarterback position in the next draft. So it really depends on, you got to let the scouting kind of lead the way. And you got to see exactly what you feel as an organization, and you can't fall into the trap of drafting a quarterback or convincing yourself about a quarterback because you need a quarterback. The quarterback has got to lead the way as a prospect.
I agree. And if they do that homework, like I said before, I think Simpson's the guy. Anyway, two other things really quick. The Giants, I think the problem with the Giants coaching search is that perfect coach that me and you are looking for, most Giants fans, are not there. Disciplinarian and the winning percentage resume. And the last thing is Purdy. Do you think it's fair that the criticism he gets for being a system quarterback, do you think he would be able to be a good quarterback, saying at Buffalo or Chicago, where those quarterbacks are basically, seems like they're doing everything, you know, Josh Allen, Caleb Williams?
Well, I just think they're different quarterbacks. Was Joe Montana a West Coast Bill Walsh system quarterback?
Yeah, of course, Joe Montana. They put him into that.
It worked, right? Perfect. Didn't have the biggest arm in the world. It worked. And Montana, obviously, 4-0 in Super Bowls. And, you know, before Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time, right? So I know there's the inherent knock when you're looking at Brock Purdy, because then you're limiting him. You know, is he physically as gifted as Josh Allen? Is he physically as gifted as Patrick Mahomes? No, but you can win. I mean, ultimately, his pass last night, I think it was his fourth touchdown pass of the night to Juwan Jennings, where he recognized that Christian McCaffrey was bracketed in coverage, and that's where he was going to go with the football, and then threw a beautiful pass over the shoulder for the touchdown, front corner, right end zone. It was a thing of beauty. I mean, it just was. So, like, people, like, we all get into the NFL draft and scouting quarterbacks and looking at quarterbacks, and people are like, well, how could he be this good and, you know, be drafted where he was coming out of Iowa State? Well, it happens. And sometimes guys go out there and slip through the cracks, and it is to his great benefit that he also landed with the coaching staff that has a great understanding of how to handle quarterbacks and put those quarterbacks in a position to be successful, not putting them in a position to fail. So there are attributes to Purdy. Throws a very catchable football, remarkably accurate. When he needs to run, he can do so. He's not as athletically gifted as a number of quarterbacks in the National Football League, but doesn't mean it. You know, can he go out there and throw through a 30-mile-an-hour wind? No. I mean, there are limitations to what he can do, but ultimately you win. And, you know, if you're a quarterback looking to kind of find yourself once again, the place to go would be the backup quarterback in San Francisco. Or be the backup quarterback in Minnesota. Like, one of those two. I mean, but if you're the backup quarterback in Minnesota, you might eventually be the starting quarterback because of where McCarthy is in his development. But Those are two programs you want to learn because you want to learn from it. Daniel Jones talked about it was just a night and day difference in terms of the work off the field when he got to Minnesota as compared to, and I understand people are going to look at it as a knock on the Giants, but you know, did his due diligence, and he needed a change of scenery. And then put himself in a spot this year where he initially had success, knew he was going to beat out Anthony Richardson, didn't know, but had a good chance of beating out Anthony Richardson due to some of the limitations there in his development as a quarterback, and landed with Steichen before he ruptured his Achilles, was having, you know, a good year. Had taken a step back previous 3 weeks, but, you know, was resurgent and had a great nickname, Indiana Jones. Harvey, Dix Hill's up next to the fan. What's going on, Harvey?
Hi, Mark. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Harvey. What's on your mind, buddy?
Nothing much. A few things. I want to talk about Jackson Dart. You were absolutely right about Justin Fields. Do you remember that? You said you didn't like him, and 100%. But I was 100% on Jackson Dart, okay? And he's exactly what he was at Mississippi. I believe that he is the best of the rookie quarterbacks. As it turns out, I'm very happy about that, as you absolutely know. Everybody wanted to trade up to all their draft capital to get Cam Ward. And even though I think Cam Ward's going to be a good quarterback, I just hope the Giants don't ruin him. You know, it's a bad team, and which leads me to, who is his tutor, by the way? Do you know now? You know, I'm not fond of firing coaches in mid-year, by the way. You asked me once, would you fire Shane or Dable? And I said, I would rather fire Shane than Dable. And Dable was his mentor. Does he have a mentor now, do you know?
Does Jackson Dart have a mentor?
Yes. Who was the quarterback?
Well, I think Jameis Winston. I think the quarterback coach has played a role.
He's using him as his mentor? Okay, I hope so. He needs one.
Russell Wilson, Winston. I mean, I think, but Dart's talked about that. I'm not breaking any news. He's talked about the veterans in that quarterback room.
Oh, that's the one. Okay, that's great. That's really great. The other thing is one of the problems, your kids play sports. I know they do. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they play football.
No.
But the what I told Tiki on the post game show, the Giants, you know, what I resent are NFL receivers dropping catchable balls, okay? And I go back to my junior high days in seventh grade. They put a rubber band around my hand. This is how you secure the ball. They catch with their bodies. It doesn't matter whether it's Theo Johnson or Slayton, incredibly, even Robinson. That's affected Dart. A lot of balls that should have been caught, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Very frustrating.
You know, but Darius Slayton had an issue with his hands coming out of Auburn.
Absolutely.
Initially, and he's got an issue now in the National Football League. You look at Theo Johnson, the one on Sunday, he didn't want to get hit.
I think so. Really? No kidding. Wow.
Well, look at, I mean, he gave you a little alligator arms, as they would say, with the safety coming over. So, you know, but Dart's been done in by drops with Theo Johnson as well. So I don't disagree. He's an athletic freak at 6'6". There's no doubt he can play the position at tight end. There's a lot to like about him. But he's got to get his hands in order.
I'll teach him how to catch a ball. I mean, as I told you, I learned that in seventh grade, for God's sake. We don't have the skills that they have. And the other thing about safety in football.
Now, what did you do in seventh grade? You wrapped rubber bands around your hands?
Yeah, he put a rubber band around my wrist and said, this is how you secure a ball. You secure first before you run. You do not run and then secure the ball. And that's a technique I learned. I don't remember ever dropping a ball, Mark. I really don't.
Never.
Yeah.
Your entire football career, you never dropped a football?
I'm sure I did, but I don't want to remember it, Mark. As a matter of fact, if we did, my coach gave us laps. I told that to Tiki. I said, he'd give us 10 laps, and he said, oh, they give you more. But anyway, safety in football. You know, I was the first to talk about upgraded football helmets. It was got to be 20 years ago in the CT when CTE was starting. And the bottom line is that there was a Zenith and the Revolutionary helmet, I remember. And that now, for example, they have Guardian caps that they're using in kids. And I don't understand why. And I read the data, and it's kind of sketchy, but there is some evidence that it can decrease concussions. You know, Tiki thinks that it's the matter of how they're tackled, et cetera, et cetera. But it's so cheap. It's like $80 on Amazon. And I don't know why the NFL doesn't go mandate these things, because there is some evidence that it does decrease concussions, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey, and I don't know about that evidence. I believe you. I'll believe you when you say, I'll believe you, having being in the medical field, being the doctor that you are, that that is indeed the case. I can't tell you why the NFL doesn't mandate it across the sport. And guys have, some have chosen to wear it, some have not, in terms of the guardian caps. But, it's unfortunately, when you look at the NFL, it's inherently violent. The helmets, in terms of the structure of the helmet, not necessarily changing, and concussions, unfortunately, are not going to go away. The now, in terms of the proactive moves for the National Football League, is how do you handle players? And we've seen that significantly changed to the positive in a good way over the last 5 to 10 years. Justin in Dobbs Ferry is up next to the fan. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on? Just looking at over these next 2 weeks, with the Raiders, played well against the Houston Texans, and if the Giants lose to them, do you see a scenario where Dallas last week of the season, Dallas just like puts in the backups, puts in the scrubs, screwed the Giants out of the first pick?
I don't know. I mean, we're getting to the last week. I mean, it might not matter. I mean, Justin, Geno Smith, I asked Pete who's starting this week. It's going to be Geno Smith back at quarterback for the Raiders. So maybe they give you another.
Oh, they should be. They should be favored. They scored 3 touchdowns against against the Texans, which is the best defense in the league. The Giants couldn't even get 33 yards. If you're going to play like that, like Dart, just put Russell Wilson in and do what he does best, is lose for us.
Yeah, so you're concerned that the Giants, so you're in the camp of, I'm rooting for the team to lose.
Oh, 100%. I want them to score 30 points and lose. And what's the point of winning 2 games and going down to the 7th pick right now?
Right. If the Giants are in a position going into that last week against Dallas, you're concerned that the Cowboys then would have the reverse revenge on the Giants, bench everybody, and the Giants find a way to win.
Yep, 100%. They did against the Eagles like two years ago. I mean,
who was the quarterback? Nate Sudfeld that started for the Eagles. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a scenario where if I was the Giants and then the Dallas was there, I wouldn't want to do everything to help them get the first pick, would you?
No, I get it, Justin. I don't know if, I understand the concern. And the Giant fan is, I've lived through it. I've dealt with it for the better part of 4 months here. Just finish it off, right? I mean, and, it's been a lot of losing. They're riding another 9-game losing streak. They're in place to have the number one overall pick. At least let there be some benefit to this year of Giant football, where you end up with the number one overall pick, and then you hope about 5 teams fall in love with Mendoza, and then you mortgage that number one pick for more picks. Because like I say, nobody likes draft capital more than the NFL fan. 117, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019. The show is brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Dove Pete across the way. Malvern, we go. Kick it off the 1 o'clock hour. It's Sonny. What's going on, Sonny?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Sonny. Thanks for making the call. What's on your mind, bud?
Thanks. 4 quick things. First of all, I love Phillip Rivers. Always have. I love his competitiveness. It's amazing that he's able to get the ball to his receivers with that technique he has, that form, that shot put, form like Boldinger said. I mean, I know he can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field anymore, but just the fact that he still can throw the out pass and the seam route is unbelievable if you think about it. It's so weird, his technique.
Oh, it's fun to watch. I mean, yeah. It just is. I mean, to watch a guy step off, and he's got grandkids, coaching high school football, retired 5 years, to step in and even to be able to hold up physically for 2 games. It's just great. And I do miss him. I miss his fieriness, his feistiness, the trash talk, he was just a fun player to watch when he was in his prime with the Chargers.
It's amazing if the things were flipped, if Eli, stayed with the Chargers and he went to the Giants. It's interesting, but that you'll never know. Anyway, as far as the Jets, listen, Moose, I really think that, I'm a Giant fan, but Jets I like also. I think the Jets would be better suited not giving up so much draft capital and waiting and picking Simpson. Simpson, as I'm an Alabama guy. I think Simpson is just as good, if not better, than Mendoza. Mendoza is not, Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning coming out of college. I mean, he's not the greatest, quarterback to win Heisman here. And I think that would be the wise choice. Simpson can make every throw. He can make that great intermediate throw, which is behind the linebacker in front of the safety. He changes and makes adjustments pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, which I don't see Mendoza doing. I think that'd be the better.
Well, it just depends on my evaluation of Mendoza. You know, I could, you know, that's where, you know,
do you like him? Do you like him?
I do. I think you need to see a little bit more. You know,
I don't love the guy. You don't love him.
No, I get it. I do. But I think it depends on what my for all these teams. You don't convince yourself about a quarterback. The quarterback convinces you. So like, I understand you're in a position of need. If you don't love Mendoza, then I agree with you. You punt. You live to fight another day, or you do what, you know, Connor Hughes talked about on SNY, you know, a couple of days ago, where, you know, you draft a guy in the second or third round, give that individual an opportunity, and then see exactly what you have for a year. If not, and it doesn't work, they prove that that individual proves that they're not the answer, then you address the quarterback position in the next draft. So it really depends on, you got to let the scouting kind of lead the way. And you got to see exactly what you feel as an organization, and you can't fall into the trap of drafting a quarterback or convincing yourself about a quarterback because you need a quarterback. The quarterback has got to lead the way as a prospect.
I agree. And if they do that homework, like I said before, I think Simpson's the guy. Anyway, two other things really quick. The Giants, I think the problem with the Giants coaching search is that perfect coach that me and you are looking for, most Giant fans are not there, disciplinarian and the winning percentage resume. And the last thing is Purdy. Do you think it's fair that the criticism he gets for being a system quarterback, do you think he would be able to be a good quarterback, saying at Buffalo or Chicago, where those quarterbacks are basically, seems like they're doing everything, you know, Josh Allen, Caleb Williams?
Well, I just think they're different quarterbacks. Was Joe Montana, West Coast, Bill Walsh system quarterback?
Yeah, of course, Joe Montana. They put him into that.
It worked, right? Perfect. Didn't have the biggest arm in the world. It worked. And Montana, obviously, 4-0 in Super Bowls. And, you know, before Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time, right? So I know there's the inherent knock when you're looking at Brock Purdy because then you're limiting him. You know, is he physically as gifted as Josh Allen? Is he physically as gifted as Patrick Mahomes? No, but you can win. I mean, ultimately, his pass last night, I think it was his fourth touchdown pass of the night to Juwan Jennings, where he recognized that Christian McCaffrey was bracketed in coverage, and that's where he was going to go with the football, and then threw a beautiful pass over the shoulder for the touchdown, front corner, right end zone. It was a thing of beauty. I mean, it just was. So, like, people, like, we all get into the NFL draft and scouting quarterbacks and looking at quarterbacks, and people are like, well, how could he be this good and, you know, be drafted where he was coming out of Iowa State? Well, it happens. And sometimes guys go out there and slip through the cracks, and it is to his great benefit that he also landed with the coaching staff that has a great understanding of how to handle quarterbacks and put those quarterbacks in a position to be successful, not putting them in a position to fail. So there are attributes to Purdy. Throws a very catchable football, remarkably accurate. When he needs to run, he can do so. He's not as athletically gifted as a number of quarterbacks in the National Football League, but doesn't mean it. You know, can he go out there and throw through a 30-mile-an-hour wind? No. I mean, there are limitations to what he can do, but ultimately, you win. And, you know, if you're a quarterback looking to kind of find yourself once again, the place to go would be the backup quarterback in San Francisco. Or be the backup quarterback in Minnesota. Like, one of those two. I mean, but if you're the backup quarterback in Minnesota, you might eventually be the starting quarterback because of where McCarthy is in his development. But those are two programs you want to learn because you want to learn from it. Daniel Jones talked about it was just a night and day difference in terms of the work off the field when he got to Minnesota as compared to, and I understand people are going to look at it as a knock on the Giants, but, you know, did his due diligence, and he needed a change of scenery. And then put himself in a spot this year where he initially had success, knew he was going to beat out Anthony Richardson, didn't know, but had a good chance of beating out Anthony Richardson due to some of the limitations there in his development as a quarterback, and landed with Steichen before he ruptured his Achilles, was having, you know, a good year. Had taken a step back previous 3 weeks, but, you know, was resurgent and had a great nickname, Indiana Jones. Harvey, Dix Hill's up next to the fan. What's going on, Harvey?
Hi, Mark. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Harvey. What's on your mind, buddy?
Nothing much. A few things. I want to talk about Jackson Dart. You were absolutely right about Justin Fields. Do you remember that?
You
said you didn't like him, and 100%. But I was 100% on Jackson Dart, okay? And he's exactly what he was at Mississippi. I believe that he is the best of the rookie quarterbacks, as it turns out. I'm very happy about that, as you as you absolutely know. Everybody wanted to trade up to all their draft capital to get Cam Ward. And even though I think Cam Ward's going to be a good quarterback, I just hope the Giants don't ruin him. You know, it's a bad team, and which leads me to, who is his suitor, by the way? Do you know now? You know, I'm not fond of firing coaches in mid-year, by the way. You asked me once, would you fire Shane or Dable? And I said, I would rather fire Shane than Dable. And Dable was his mentor. Does he have a mentor now, do you know?
Does Jackson Dart have a mentor?
Yes. Who was the quarterback?
Well, I think Jameis Winston. I think the quarterback coach has played a role.
He's using him as his mentor? Okay, I hope so. He needs one.
Russell Wilson, Winston. I mean, I think, but Dart's talked about that. I'm not breaking any news. He's talked about the veterans in that quarterback room.
Oh, that's so and so. Okay, that's great. That's really great. The other thing is one of the problems. Your kids play sports. I know they do. Okay,
yeah.
I don't think they play football.
No.
But the what I told Tiki on the post game show, the Giants, you know, what I resent are NFL receivers dropping catchable balls, okay? And I go back to my junior high days in seventh grade. They put a rubber band around my hand. This is how you secure the ball. They catch with their bodies. It doesn't matter whether it's Theo Johnson or Slayton, incredibly, even Robinson. That's affected Dart. A lot of balls that should have been caught, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Very frustrating.
You know, but Darius Slayton had an issue with his hands coming out of Auburn.
Absolutely.
Initially, and he's got an issue now in the National Football League. You look at Theo Johnson, the one on Sunday, he didn't want to get hit.
I think so. Really? No kidding. Wow.
Well, look at, I mean, he gave you a little alligator arms, as they would say, with the safety coming over. So, you know, but he's been, I mean, Dart's been done in by drops with Theo Johnson as well. So I don't disagree. He's an athletic freak at 6'6". There's no doubt. Could play the position at tight end. There's a lot to like about him. But he's got to get his hands in order.
I'll teach him how to catch a ball. I mean, as I told you, I learned that in seventh grade, for God's sake. We don't have the skills that they have. And the other thing about safety in football.
Now, what did you do in seventh grade? You wrapped rubber bands around your hands?
Yeah, he put a rubber band around my wrist and said, this is how you secure a ball. You secure first before you run. You do not run and then secure the ball. And that's a technique I learned. I don't remember ever dropping a ball, Mark. I really don't.
Never. Yeah. Your entire football career, you never dropped a football?
I'm sure I did, but I don't want to remember it, Mark. As a matter of fact, if we did, my coach gave us laps. I told that to Tiki. I said, he'd give us 10 laps, and he said, oh, they give you more. But anyway, safety in football. You know, I was the first to talk about upgraded football helmets. It was got to be 20 years ago in the CT when CTE was starting. And the bottom line is that there was a Zenith and the Revolutionary helmet, I remember. And that now, for example, they have Guardian caps that they're using in kids. And I don't understand why. And I read the data, and it's kind of sketchy, but there is some evidence that it can decrease concussions. You know, Tiki thinks that it's the matter of how they're tackled, et cetera, et cetera. But it's so cheap. It's like $80 on Amazon. And I don't know why the NFL doesn't go mandate these things, because there is some evidence that it does decrease concussions, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Harvey, and I don't know about that evidence. I believe you. I'll believe you when you say, I'll believe you, having being in the medical field, being the doctor that you are, that is indeed the case. I can't tell you why the NFL doesn't mandate it across the sport. And guys have chosen to wear it, some have not, in terms of the Guardian caps. But you know, it's unfortunately, when you look at the NFL, it's inherently violent. You know, the helmets, in terms of the structure of the helmet, not necessarily changing, and concussions, unfortunately, are not going to go away. The now, in terms of the proactive moves for the National Football League, is how do you handle players? And we've seen that significantly changed to the positive in a good way over the last 5 to 10 years. Justin in Dobbs Ferry is up next to the fan. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on? Just looking at over these next 2 weeks with the Raiders, you know, played well against the Houston Texans. And if the Giants lose to them, do you see a scenario where Dallas last week of the season, Dallas just like puts in the backups, puts in the scrubs, screwed the Giants out of the first pick?
I don't know. I mean, we're getting to the last week. I mean, it might not matter. I mean, Justin, Geno Smith, I asked Pete who's starting this week. It's going to be Geno Smith back at quarterback for the Raiders. So maybe they give you another.
Oh, they should be favored. They scored 3 touchdowns against the against the Texans, which is the best defense in the league, the Giants couldn't even get 33 yards. If you're going to play like that, like Dart, just put Russell Wilson and do what he does best is lose for us.
I mean, yeah, so you're concerned that the Giants, so you're in the camp of I'm rooting for the team to lose.
Oh, 100%. I want them to score 30 points and lose. And what's the point of winning two games and going down to the seventh pick right now?
Right. So if the Giants are in a position going into that last week against Dallas, you're concerned that the Cowboys then would have the reverse revenge on the Giants, bench everybody, and the Giants find a way to win.
Yep, 100%. Like they did against the Eagles like two years ago. I mean,
who was the quarterback? Nate Sudfeld that started for the Eagles. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like a scenario where if I was the Giants and then the Dallas was there, I wouldn't want to do everything to help them get the first pick, would you?
No, I get it, Justin. I don't know if I understand the concern, and the Giant fan is I've lived through it. I've dealt with it for the better part of 4 months here. Just finish it off, right? I mean, and it's been a lot of losing. They're riding another 9-game losing streak. They're in place to have the number one overall pick. At least let there be some benefit to this year of Giant football, where you end up with the number one overall pick, and then you hope about five teams fall in love with Mendoza, and then you mortgage that number one pick for more picks. Because like I say, nobody likes draft capital more than the NFL fan. 117, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019. The show is brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants.
You know, Tiki, last night, as I like to do as a prep for the show and the podcast and see what the Giant community is talking about, we had another current athlete in this town playing the social media game.
Mm.
But what do we do when the social media game by an athlete in this town meets the WFAN social media team? Because that's exactly what happened yesterday. So I'm going to play a clip for you that Chris McMonagle had on Jackson Dart and the Giants. And you'll understand the importance of this clip after you hear it.
They fired his coach and they are coaching him completely afraid to let him be him. That's what happened here. That's what's going on with the New York Giants. And everybody was so afraid. If you allow Dable around him, if you allow the losing to persist around him, he's going to ruin him. He's going to ruin this young quarterback. He's going to ruin him. It has gotten so much worse for this kid the second Dable was fired. It has gotten so much worse. They don't have a game plan for him anymore. They don't know how to treat him. They're not trying to develop him. You're trying to develop a quarterback. You don't hide him from this. You say, go figure it out. It's about developing the quarterback when the season's dead, not hiding him. And not neutering him. Look at the body language. Everything about Jackson Dart is completely different than the kid we saw take over this team in week 4.
That, of course, the voice of Chris McMonagle, who you'll hear on January 5th in the afternoons here with Greg Carton.
Dude, he's absolutely right.
Okay, so he's right.
Dart sounds different after games. Even when they were losing. Now, maybe the losing beat you down, but he just feels despondent. Like, I didn't really give it the effort. And it's not all my fault.
Right.
You could see it. I mean, 11 drops, they were more than that because he got sacked, five times? So 16 dropbacks in that game this past weekend and only, seven completions, whatever, four or five completions, whatever it was.
They neutered him. He doesn't look the same without Dable. But here's the real key to that clip, Tiki. Jackson Dart liked it on Instagram. Jackson Dart hit the heart button on Instagram.
Because he's right.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
C-Mac is right.
A, do you think Jackson Dart listened to all of C-Mac's words and consciously hit that heart? Did it just pop up in Jackson Dart's algorithm, saw somebody talking about him and he hit a heart without watching it? And I guess furthermore, after you answer that, should Jackson Dart be staring at this stuff on Instagram, liking it?
I mean, this is the modern athlete. You can't help it. These guys get fed to you.
Yeah.
Right? The algorithm knows who Jackson Dart is, right? It knows Jackson Dart's account, so it's going to feed it to you because, hey, it's about you.
Right.
And then it's up to you to determine what you're going to do with it. And Jackson Dart listened to it. He said, you know what? This is real. And that's the thing I like about Jackson Dart. He doesn't care.
No, clearly not.
He's not concerned about the opinions of people who might judge him for liking C-Mac That was on a show. Obviously, yeah. It was on Instagram.
It was on Instagram. It was on the FAN Instagram account. So first of all, Jackson, anytime you want to like anything I say on Instagram, of course, by all means, take the heart. But I think that's interesting. So Jackson Dart, if he consciously liked that, tells you.
I think he did.
Okay, so, and if he did, he is feeling exactly what a lot of us are saying, which is, what the hell are they doing to this kid?
Yeah, not developing him is exactly right. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and we talked about it after the game as well, in the post game, me and John and Dottino. It feels like they're doing everything to make it easy for him. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're going to find success because we're going to simplify it and make it easy for you. But that's not how you grow. It's not how you become really good at this game.
You want to throw more at his plate now. It's the end of the year.
So just a couple of examples that we all remember. Eli Manning, his rookie season, he got thrown to the wolves after 9 games. And look, he had all the resources, right? He had all the playbook. It was all at his disposal. He had a pretty good coach in Kevin Gilbride, and he got thrown to the wolves, and he stunk at it. And then eventually, he figured it out.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, when he was with the Indianapolis Colts, and this was Bruce Arians' first year, Bruce Arians was his offensive coordinator, and he led the league in interceptions. He had like 30 interceptions, maybe not quite that many, but he had a ton of interceptions. His completion percentage was like under 60%. He struggled. And then eventually, he figured it out.
Yeah.
Right? For quarterbacks in particular, there's this belief that you're going to ruin them if they have failures. But I honestly think the failure is necessary.
Because you need to learn what you've done wrong.
It teaches you how to find success. And so, when you're making it easy, let's protect the quarterback. And as C-Mac said, neuter him. You don't give him the chance to callous and grow and become good at it. Right?
Yeah.
It's just because at no point is it easy.
You know, no. What I
mean? Or should it even try to be easy?
Yeah. So, Tiki, let me ask you this. I didn't hear the full post-game show. I'm not even sure if you covered this yesterday. So this is just me kind of flying blind on this. What is the reason for neutering him? Because my belief is, are they just scared about him running and the getting hurt thing, that they're just trying to get by the rest of the year without him taking chances with the legs?
Look, if you're not going to call any design QB runs, because we saw a lot of those earlier in the season.
Uh-huh.
If you're not going to do that to protect him, I'm completely fine. There's 2 games left, 3 games left going in the last week. You don't want to get him unnecessarily hit. So I get it.
I agree.
The winning is important. It's not the only thing that matters anymore. But the lack of letting him like full read a defense and just either just hand it off 30 times in a game doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you do no play action off that. And then all that does is every time he does drop back to pass, guess what he's doing? Taking bigger unnecessary hits as a result of the position you're putting him in on third and long and such.
Yes. And so I don't know why they're doing this. I mean, maybe it was the game plan. Brian Flores is so high and mighty, and we're scared of him, and we don't want Jackson Dart to get hit and banged around. But, get hit and banged around, you're going to learn not to get hit and banged around.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's football. Like, we know that it's complicated because of how defenses disguise everything these days, but the only way you're going to learn it is to learn it.
Learn it. Yeah. You know, this leads me to the next question, though, Tiki, and I think it's an important one as we head towards 2026. Tommy Lugauer loves a good Instagram clip of himself on the FAN account.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to start catering your takes to see if Jackson Dart likes him, knowing they're getting fed to his algorithm?
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'll be like, the Mets season's looking bright. By the way, Jackson Dart would make a great right fielder. You know what I mean? So, and the Knicks are got dudes, dogs, and damage. You know who's a dude and dog? Jackson Dart. So I will incorporate Jackson Dart into every single take now, hoping he will hit the button. I also think, is it possible that Jackson Dart was in like mode on Instagram? And maybe it was like Instagram model like, ring girl model like, Chris McMonagle like, oops. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Mac was after a couple of hot blondes.
You could just unlike that. He left it liked.
Does everybody know, Teak, that you could unlike? I don't know if that's across the board that everybody knows that.
Of course you can.
No, I know you can.
Look, if Jackson Dart could process a defense, he knows you can unlike us.
But
you think Chris McMonagle only came up because Dart was liking Instagram models and McMonagle also has boobs?
That was Sean Marash, not me. I know we get mixed up sometimes. But wouldn't somebody on the Giants be like, yo, unlike that because it's a bad look?
Do we know that didn't happen by now?
Did he still like it?
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't even know how to look that up. We can get somebody on that. But wouldn't somebody say, hey, like it's a bad idea to like that?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Kafka's
but it's not
be
a bad idea to like it because he's not going to be here next
no,
year.
No, I know, but it's still like, it's a topic we're talking about with the Giants that's not in a positive
He light. Did. Rami tells me he did unlike it.
Yeah, he got told. Rami.
Went back and unliked
or
it.
Or he was in like mode. And like I said, Instagram model.
I mean, he accidentally liked it? Is that what you're
saying?
It's
like Ricky Bobby when he gets in autograph mode and he signs the guy's like bald head.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand what you're saying. I would just say this. In the great super bad quote to Jackson Dart about unliking that, people don't forget. We know you liked it. We know how you feel. And Jackson, we agree with you.
By the way, Sean, chew on this one. I said this yesterday to Tiki and Evan. Is it possible that Joe Shane is telling Mike Kafka to basically make Jackson Dart look bad because Shane wants to draft Mendoza and Dart was Dable's guy?
My response to that, Sean, was Joe Shane also is claiming Jackson Dart.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, Tommy, I like the creative thinking. I do. But Joe Shane now has gone out of his way when the thing was good to talk about how much he was involved. If he didn't say all that stuff he already said, and that press conference that felt like he was throwing to the wolves, that was the one thing he hung his hat on, was how involved he was with Dart. He can't go the other way now. I just think they're a mess right now, and Mike Kafka's in above his head as the interim head coach and doesn't know how to handle Dart. I really don't. And I think that there's a 0.0% chance that the Giants are drafting Fernando Mendoza if they end up with the first overall pick.
One more from Mike Kafka here on Jackson Dart. He was asked quite a bit about him yesterday off the loss to Minnesota and the lack of throwing the ball. We had said last hour he kind of pushed back on any narrative that he has regressed and basically said you can't judge him strictly by the stat line.
I don't see that as a regression for Jackson. Sure, maybe the numbers aren't what they had been in the past, but I think he's playing well. He's playing at a high level. There's certainly things that he can continue to improve on, and we've talked through those and as a group, too.
Now, did you take note yesterday? It kind of made the rounds that Dart, whether he realized it or not, at some point liked the fan video on Instagram of Chris McMonagle criticizing the
Giants. Well,
I don't
know how you don't realize it. I mean,
well, you know, sometimes guys, if they're skimming through, it could be accidental. But in this case, Fleegs made a good point on Instagram. You got to do the double tap. So that,
is that true?
Kind of tough to get away with it there.
Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't do anything for you.
No.
So the fan puts out a video of McMonagle.
No, I think it's great. I'm saying is I don't think he did it on accident.
Well,
I know. I think he liked it because he is frustrated.
Well,
he's an NFL quarterback that early on, when he first got the job, was playing at a high level, like Mike Kafka just said, and he threw for 33 yards on Sunday.
Yes, he did.
33 yards, not on a drive, not in a quarter, for a full NFL game, he threw for 33 yards. Yes, there were a couple of drops for sure.
Yes.
They didn't let him throw. They had the one sequence I brought up yesterday was when they actually had the ball near the red zone. I think they were on the 21-yard line. They went run, run, run for a total of 7 yards.
Pumped.
Didn't even give him a chance.
Yeah.
So if I was him, I'd be terribly frustrated.
But do you think some of that is to protect him?
Then don't play him. You can't do this half-ass, go out there, we got fans here, they want to see you. But we're not going to let you do anything because all you're doing is running the risk of him playing a way that he doesn't play, and it's just a waste of time.
Mm.
Like, what are you putting him out there for then?
No, I just know some OCs and coordinators, they'll protect the guy by doing enough, but not doing where you put him in. Like, he goes out there, throw a couple picks, you lose the confidence from the team. He goes out there and scrambles around. He gets hurt. Sometimes a run game acts as a stabilizer and a protection.
Now we come back to the question I brought to you earlier. Is this entertainment? Is it about winning? Is it about growth? Like, these are all things.
I think it's about growth, but I think
he's got to play. And he's got to play the way he needs to play.
Leaning on the run game is helpful, which they early established it. But at some point, then you want to open that up, right? A little play action, take some shots down the field. And look, Brian Flores is an outstanding defensive coordinator. And he's had he's had a lot of success against the Giants even prior to Dart in this year. But it felt like they went
overboard
as far as trying to, we got to be careful here. That sort of thing.
Like, I keep saying 33 yards. He only attempted 13 passes in a game.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
And Jerry may not, I don't know if he'll remember this. I keep going back to Eli had the game in Baltimore as a rookie when they faced the Ravens. A similar stat line. I think it was like 4 out of 18 for 27 yards. And he was completely overwhelmed. This didn't feel like that's what I mean. No. That's why it's you look at the stat lines and hey, they both were rookies playing a tough defense, but it had a much different vibe.
So let me ask you this. And I only bring it up because of again watching the Bucks documentary. Otherwise, I would have never in a million years said this. Is it possible that they have him out there? We don't want to win the game. Run the ball into the line three times. I know that sounds crazy, but watching the Bucks documentary, Steve Young tells a story when the Bucks wanted the number one pick. That they were running, they were sending plays in, and he's looking like, guys, what are we doing? Are we trying to win, or are we trying to lose this game?
It's a possibility. Like I said, it's tanking probably without saying then you're tanking.
Then get him off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if you still need, he still needs the reps. He still needs
you
the game experience.
But you said
yes, I did say that. 100%.
That his confidence is going to be shot because it looks like he's regressing and he's going to be frustrated.
And listen, he has 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and 10 starts. Like, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, you want his numbers to look respectable, not like, because you still have to gain momentum into next year. You know what I mean? If he has 14 picks, you know, 22 touchdowns, and you're like, well, we got to feel good about our quarterback, and then you throw the stat line out there, a lot of people aren't going to fall, you know, not even get in line for him.
He hasn't looked that way this year, though. Like, there haven't been games where I feel like every time he drops back, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know where this ball is going to be thrown. He's going to put it in harm's way.
But I also think if you recognize his play style, you have to protect him from himself.
Okay. All right, so what do you do Sunday? Are you just going to throw him out there and hand the ball off 45
times?
Leash.
I'll open it up a little bit, and I'll put him on a leash.
It's harder to sell that playing the 2-13 Raiders than it is going up against a Brian Flores.
Yeah, but
defense.
You watch the Raiders knuckle up against the Texans and put up a fight, right?
Yeah.
And so now you don't want this kid playing hero ball and go out there because he was like, man, I just want to win. I'm a competitor. All right.
So if you're a Giant fan, you should expect 6-for-12 on Sunday for 50 yards.
It's not unrealistic.
That's a much tougher sell to me against a crappy – not that the Vikings are world beaters – but the defense and the guy who runs the defense are respectable. So you could say, oh, it was about Brian Flores. But if it's like you said, if it's sort of like tanking without saying you're tanking, that's a much tougher sell when you're going to play the 2-13 Raiders on the road.
Not to mention
Las
Vegas. Mike Kafka's coaching. This is his resume.
Yeah.
So he want to go winless as a head coach. I think the organization probably wants him to now because you want the number one pick.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to.
He's going to follow orders.
It's so complicated.
Yeah, he's going to follow.
It really is. Yeah. God.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.